So tell me about some of the issues to do with theft. How much theft do you reckon went on in your supermarket, Ian and Steve?
Well, Dave, you'd have to say that in our experiences, it was at least up to probably 0.5% of our turnover.
Half a percent of your turnover is in theft.
Yep.
And give me some examples, some of the instances you sort of came across over the time about suppliers or staff or customers being involved in stock theft.
Yeah, well, we've certainly had an experience with a number of direct suppliers to the deli where we'd buy in and they would sell to us by kilo. And it was important that you weighed the goods at the back door because you were paying them for 20 kilos of ham, and if you didn't weigh in, they may not give you the 20 kilos, you might get 16 or 17 kilos. So effectively, you've lost 3 or 4 kilos in product.
Oh, so they were trying to get away with 3 kilos worth of
ham.
Yeah.
So they would that would be in their pocket. Now, generally, that could be the delivery driver being a thief because his company thinks he sold it to us and he's actually kept the 3 kilo and sold it to someone else.
Oh, right. So it could be a driver. Yeah.
It could be a driver.
And so in the store itself, sometimes you had shop surveillance people?
Yeah, we had loss prevention people.
Loss prevention.
Loss prevention. The people would go around and act as a customer. They were called covert security.
All right.
And they would follow customers around and act as a customer themselves and just check for people putting stuff in their handbags or their jackets or down their pants.
And how often would they actually find somebody doing that? Was it a regular thing?
Infrequently, but you nearly guarantee that most times they're in our shop, they'd always catch one or two or three or four.
In a week, yeah. They'd catch 4 or 5 in a week.
And what was your policy there? What did you do if you caught them?
Call the police and have them charged.
No, it seems
like that was generally a rule of thumb.
Yeah.
But, you get all sorts of different people doing funny things, but it's been known that a customer might open a produce bag or a produce bag filling with veggies and go to the meat case and open up a pack of fillet steaks and take the fillet steaks out, put it in the bag and put it in their pants and walk out with a fillet steak. So that's been experienced. And
well, that's part of the old, your profit margin going out the store.
That's right, that's right. Or we had a weird one once where we had this packet of ice creams around the store, the multi-packs of ice creams like drumsticks or chalk wedges, and one lady had an issue that she used to go in the shop and eat one. She'd take a packet and eat an ice cream. She went round and you'd find an empty packet around the store with 9 ice creams and a pack of 10 and one gone.
Yeah.
So people would eat as they're going around as well.
Yeah. Now tell me about key performance indicators. Every day or every week or every month, there was probably some particular data that was particularly important to you as the managers and owners of the supermarket. What was the most important performance indicator in your supermarket?
Well, we obviously sales. I mean, we used to monitor sales up every day. We'd say, well, we've had a reasonable day today, or we haven't. And then if we'd have a Christmas period or Easter period, we'd compare the, say, it might last, a Christmas period might be over the 2-week period over Christmas, or Easter over a week, we'd compare sales versus last year and this year. We're always hoping for an increase of at least 5% on the previous year because of inflation, which was running about 3%. It's probably a good average. So we're always hoping to do a bit better than inflation every time, every year.
And sales generally, and kind of broken down into every department level.
Yes, every department, because we had to keep track of how our fruit and veg was going versus last year, meat and deli versus what the trend was, our deli performance, always had to make sure our departments were always fresh, good looking, and if they weren't, our sales would be falling off. So it was very important to monitor all our departments as well.
So sales, and what about this one about sales or customer clicks, as it's called? Tell me what that one's all about, Ian.
Well, that's when what we recorded, every time a customer has a transaction in the register, it's recorded as a customer count. So that's one person that's gone through your store. So if you're, when we started at MAFA, we had an average of 4,600 people registrations, that's transactions, per week.
That's an average over a year, is it?
Yeah, over a year. And after we did the modifications and renovations, We're up to about, and after about 8 years, we're up to, and we extended our trading hours as well to Sundays, because we never used to open on Sundays, and we used to close early on a Saturday afternoon. Well, obviously we had to upgrade our trading hours. We ended up getting nearly up to 12,000, so we went up.
Oh, that's a massive increase.
A massive increase, and it was a big effort. So we knew people were coming to our store, but you need to monitor that. I mean, there was an instance where our customer count over a couple of months was just trending. You watch the trend, and you could just see, even though you have ups and downs on the weeks, depending on, you know, whether
it's the weather and stuff like that.
The weather, exactly. Hot weather. People used to come out in droves, buy things in the morning and the afternoon be quiet, but what they bought in the morning was just so much. So you could see over a trend of about 4 months that we were just falling away a little bit. So we did take a lady out of the office and just sat up at our front end just to see how our cashiers, girls at the front, were handling our customers, and they weren't handling them well. They were cross-talking across the
register. She was looking at customer service.
Yep, customer service. And we weren't good. And that's why people seemed to be falling off.
What did you do when you identified that as an issue?
We retrained people, set out new policies on appearance, no chewing of gum, and cross-talking over registers. And
Greeting the customer was important.
Greeting the customer with that really happy smile.
Mm. So by looking at the data, the KPI data said there was a trend.
Yep.
It was slightly unfavourable. We did something about it. Somebody observed, and on the basis of that observation, turned it around by improved training for the staff, and so that was a good use of a KPI.
Yep.
So customer numbers, of course, and then you would divide the total sales per period by the numbers, and to work out the value per customer.
Yep.
Was there anything else in particular that you'd track or graph or chart, or you'd think about at night? Sales was the major one, obviously.
We'd always track our sales by department.
Sales by department.
We'd always track that down to our meat department, our produce department.
Now, what's produce again?
Produce is fruit and vegetables.
Fruit and vegetables.
Fruit and vegetables. Our liquor department.
Liquor. Yep.
And our deli.
Delicatessen. Yep.
The balance was groceries, and up at the front end was cigarettes. We'd always use to track how cigarette sales were
so
going.
So cigarettes was kept separately again?
Cigarettes is part of grocery, but we kept a separate figure so we knew how cigarettes were going.
Okay, and there was a person in charge of each of these sections or departments, and you would have a conversation with them on a regular basis?
Yeah, we used to conduct a weekly meeting, a performance of the week, and we discuss what happened the previous week and look at where we perhaps failed or we did some really good things.
Oh, yeah, so weekly analysis.
Weekly analysis of what happened last week, and then we'd sit there and
compare took it the week
of last year.
Corresponding week of.
Oh, okay, so you'd look back on the data to last year and say last year this week was Easter or whatever it was, we need to order X more.
To all those sort of things that happen, and then
look at the weather forecast.
Weather forecast would be an issue.
Seven-day weather forecast.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
it would be. Tell me how the weather impacted on the supermarket. Some examples there.
Tomatoes and lettuces when it was hot.
When it's hot, you had to order more tomatoes and lettuces.
Oh, yeah.
And watermelon, because people like relief.
Ice creams,
soft drinks, cordials, water.
Okay, so you had to look at the weather forecast for the next 7 days. Yes. On the basis of that, you'd actually change the ordering system.
Yes, we would.
Yeah.
Beetroot was a huge sell. You go from one carton a week off your shelf to, on a hot day, 40 degrees, selling 10 cartons.
Ah, right.
So people just all of a sudden look for relief from the weather.
So on the basis of past experience, you knew the weather was going to be a major determinant of stock, and you'd make the orders appropriately. Yeah.
Real trend changes there. Definitely real big trend changes.
Tell me about the budgets for each of those departments. You set that up once a year with each of the heads of the department, or did you do that on a monthly basis, weekly basis? The sort of targets for for example, the delicatessen, the produce, the liquor, did they have little targets that they
had yearly reviews of all our department managers.
Yearly reviews?
Yeah. And so we set up targets,
gross in dollars,
profits, profits, and sales. And gross profits are the selling price versus the buying price.
Mm.
And also, with our main store manager, you'd set up a target for a wage percentage, because you'd have to stick to
wages ratio.
Wages ratio versus sales. There's a certain percentage there that had to be adhered to, and if you didn't, you could vary, because the big factors in running a supermarket are cost factors like rent and then wages. Those two things you have to keep under control totally. You've got to really watch them, because they can turn your operation to a loss very quickly.
So you had a budgeted sort of, for example, wages ratio.
Yes.
And if the person in charge of that department did the right thing and you achieved the budget or bettered the budget, did they get any bonuses or something like that? What happened there?
Yeah, they share their results. If obviously the store achieved its budgeted profits and or a little bit more, we would sit down at the end of the financial year once we had the StockTake results through, and I would determine their bonus depending on
what they did. There was a bonus attached to performance
sharing the company profit.
We'd share that with them.
So that was that would have been a motivator for them.
That's right.
And if they didn't achieve the budget.
They got paid and they had a job, but they didn't get a bonus.
Yeah, and they had to please explain, and they had to sort of try and work out strategies to make things better for the next...
To continue to improve.
Yeah.
Dave, I think one of the things probably in the chat about profit, often there's a myth about supermarkets make a lot of money. It is a high volume business and high turnover business, but in the whole, the gross profit results from a supermarket is about 20%.
Gross profit rate's about 20%.
Yeah. So what people don't realise is when the stock's going through the till and mum and dad and so forth are buying the groceries, that the stock, 80% of that dollar going through the till, 80 cents in the dollar is actually for the stock.
Right.
So it costs us 80 cents for the stock. There's 20 cents left over for gross profit.
And that means that the bottom line, the return on revenue, the net profit rate must be very low.
Well, you've got to take off at least 9.5% for wages and on costs of wages. Rent usually runs about 2-2.5%, so that takes us through to 11.5%. We've got depreciation,
power,
cost of goods, electricity,
maintenance,
repairs and maintenance, refrigeration costs a lot of money.
So
it would be the power for refrigeration would be huge.
It is huge.
And what we don't realise is that probably the end result is that the store can make maybe 2-2.5 cents in the dollar profit prior to tax.
Well, in other words, if we sold $100 worth of groceries or liquor, our bottom line after tax was normally about 2-2.5%. So for every $100 of sales, we'd pick up $2-$2.50. And of course, that has to be put aside for paying back loans and also
tax.
After tax.
After tax, yeah.
But reinvestment, because supermarket equipment like registers and all the software that use at the front ends, they get superseded very quickly.
You've got to keep front end cash registers.
Yep.
The refrigeration probably refrigeration, over time.
Refrigeration. Yep. Capital expenditure in supermarkets is quite dear.
You've got to keep up with all the latest, deli cases and fruit and veg presentations and all that. So it's a tough job, but it's very rewarding because you can see results if you really have to put in, sort of.
Okay, let's talk about electronic stock ordering. Tell me what happens at the end of the day, or how do you order the stock? How does that process work, ordering the stock?
Okay, well, in general terms, the supermarket shelves on the dairy case and the freezer case are ordered by an electronic order machine.
An electronic order machine, yep.
And
who does that?
Basically, a grocery person would go around and do that order, or your dairy and freezer control would go around and do that their own order.
How often would they do that?
All the liquor.
And liquor would also be done that way. In general terms, grocery in an average supermarket, or our average supermarket back at MAFRA, would order groceries three times a week.
Yep.
And dairy and freezer the same, three times a week.
Up in the city, there might be some stores that do more frequently than that.
At the moment, where we work now with Richie's, our stores can order up to six times a week on supermarket and four times on dairy freezer. So liquor's about three or four times as well in the supermarket.
And they'd get those deliveries probably the next day, wouldn't
they? Next day, yep. Most stores these days, with efficiencies and the fact you can order electronically via computer, via your internet, you generally order by 11 o'clock at night, and that load's delivered the next day, 20 pallets in some bigger stores or 10 pallets in smaller stores. So 20 pallets is about 2,000 cases, and 10 pallets is obviously 1,000 cases, but that would be installed by about 3 o'clock next day.
Mm.
So within 24 hours of the order, well, it's about 14 hours, you're getting your load, and then that stock's generally put away by an afternoon shift or a night shift, and again that night in the city, for instance, now, 6 days a week, they're doing another order that night at 11 o'clock.
Mm.
Generally, an order going around the supermarket shelves electronically would take 2 to 3 hours to do the order, aisle by aisle, item by item, bay by bay.
Mm.
And at the end of the order, you take into consideration, you know, it's a bit of an estimate to what you need next day, but when you have to last 2 days, you tend to overorder a bit, like things like sugar or, in summer, beetroot, and various other lines sell more than a carton a day, so you'd have to make sure you ordered multiples, but on average, most products through the shelf sell at least a carton every 2 days.
Mm.
And you order and replenish manually through that electronic order system.
Okay, now tell me about the problem with out of code or stock that is going to go possibly beyond a use-by date. Is this a big issue in the supermarket industry?
It has become a big trend because we're now governed by HACCP laws, health and hygiene laws, through councils, and they have audits on our stores. And every product in the supermarket now has either a use-by date or majority now carry a best before date.
Oh, okay.
And we have a policy in our days at Mafra, a policy with, particularly in the dairy case, juices would come in with...
Like fruit juices, yeah.
Fruit juices would come in perhaps with a minimum of 10 days, a maximum of 10 days.
Mm.
And yogurts anywhere between 15 and 20 days.
Mm.
Long life cheeses are okay. They're usually 3 or 4 months code on those. Mm. But there's highly perishable items in the deli that might have 8 to 10 days, being some pretty strict Camemberts, high exotic cheeses, boutique wines.
What happens when you can sense that there's there's not much time to go, and you've got this great stock of expensive stock sitting there that might go out of code?
Well, we'd certainly be after the person that ordered it, but more than likely, what you're after is the fact that we need to make a decision to recover the best we can do, or salvage the cost of the goods. So you'd mark it down by maybe 25% and hope that that would clear in a few days' time, but if it hasn't, you may have to go to 50%.
Mm.
But sometimes it wouldn't sell and you'd dump it. So you'd be full 100% shrinkage and you'd lose the lot.
So stock loss, stock write down, you call that shrinkage?
Shrinkage.
And you would monitor that carefully per department?
How much
occurs in a supermarket?
Well, in all of our departments we used to track, we'd always ask our people that they recorded the dumpings and their markdowns, and we had a figure that we would measure against sales. And depending on by department, the delis and the produce would generally run in excess of 5% of the weekly sales. Grocery was a lot less than that, less than 1%, but around 0.5%.
Mm. So you record dumpings, that's when stock is literally just dumped.
Dumped. And then we'd also measure the difference between 0 and 25% if we had to mark it down, or 0 and 50%.
Mm.
So you have the total amount of shrink.
So it takes a bit of experience for somebody in the supermarket area there to know how much to order of these products that are going to be out of code or can be out of code in a short time.
Mm. Well, particularly our perishable is the produce or the dairy freezer. Not so much the freezer because it's long life there, but dairy.
Yogurts and things.
Yogurts and so forth. That was the high sale. The other trend that's coming to supermarkets now is organics and health foods have become a trend for departments.
Oh.
They're a big growth factor because they're a natural product and don't have preservatives. Generally, a lot of that product comes in with a month or 2 months code on a grocery shelf, so you have to watch those areas and code check more often than not.
Mm.
And you'd want to be conscious of what you're carrying on your grocery shelves to make sure you know where you're at, because baby food, for instance, and baby formulas, you don't want to be caught selling those out of code because you face very stiff fines from councils.
Ah, right.
And, obviously, that can affect
the customers,
the health of people.
Mm. And the customers are aware of these issues too. Some of them know that if they're selling out of code stuff and it's bad for your reputation.
Yeah. In general terms, most products with best befores are okay for a week to two after their use by date. In grocery areas, and perishable, they're probably okay for a day or two or three, but we have a policy within our supermarkets that we mark down at 5 days in the case of dairy. 5 days or less to go, so we try and sell it out before best before.
Mm.
And in grocery, we generally sell it within 2 weeks of best before.
Mm.